the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quimbido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hola. Hey, happy Cinco de Mayo.
And happy Password Day, apparently.
Yeah, it is World Password Day. That is correct. Like
that. I think it's a good day for St. Anthony, you know, because I usually have to call on him to help me find that password. I put somewhere. Passwords are not my favorite.
Do you actually hide them?
No, I don't.
Don't say that. Okay. Don't even reveal it if you do.
Where, you know.
Well, some people have them in a little secret spot.
I do have them in a spot, but still it's like, oh man, sometimes I don't. Anyway, doesn't matter. Passwords are not always my friend.
Well, that's why they have that's why they have the little thing that says forget password. I click it all the time.
I do too. That's true.
Yeah, me
that's
too. True.
So hopefully nobody picks up my
thank God they
Damian's
created that, you know.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Oh, wow. Well, let's pray. Today is the feast of St. Hilary of Arles. So let's start in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty ever-living God, let us feel your compassion more readily during these days when by your gift we have known it more fully, so that those you have freed from the darkness of error may cling more firmly to the teachings of your truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Hilary, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great lineup for you today, starting off with Bonnie March. She'll give us details about the Women's Giving Circle in the Baton Rouge area. I actually went to a Women's Giving Circle meeting in the Archdiocese of New Orleans before COVID, and they do such great work. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing what Bonnie has to say and what they're up to in the Baton Rouge area. Lorraine Bennett joins us. She has a game by Sophia Press called Know Thyself, the Game of Temperaments. This sounds really interesting. I think the Wake Up Crew should play this game.
Well,
are you saying something about our temperament?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying because we all have different temperaments.
Yes,
we all have different strengths. And, you know, we bring things to the table, different things to the table. So I think this is a fun game for the family, for friends. So we'll learn more from Lorraine. David Dawson Jr. from the Diocese of Homer-Thibodeau joins us, and today he's going to talk about Martha and Mary. So, perfect. I think this is a great topic to discuss with Dave. Yeah. And Heather Kim joins us. She has a new book called Abide, A Pathway to Transformative Healing and Intimacy with Jesus, which we could always use a little bit more of. Mm-hmm. So Heather's going to give us details about that. It'll be a great interview. I'm looking forward to it, Damian.
Well, yeah, we could practice what they preach in Heather's book and play the game at the same time. That would be fun.
Oh,
that would really be interesting.
Let's try that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a whirlwind.
And try to guess each other's passwords. In the meantime, partly cloudy skies, but plenty of sunshine in the forecast. Temperatures are going to get close to 90 degrees today. Winds are going to be out of the south at 10 to 20 miles an hour, though. So that's good. It's going to cool things down a little bit, despite the humidity. Rain is going to be moving into our area overnight and in the early morning hours of tomorrow. But once that makes way for some beautiful weather for Mother's Day weekend. As I said, humidity's about 90% right now. Temperatures are in the 70s just about everywhere. New Orleans, 75. Biloxi, 74. Homer-Thibodeau, the North Shore, and Baton Rouge, all 70 degrees. So, there you have it. It's going to be a little wet tonight, but beautiful for the weekend. Don't go away because we have your gospel and gospel reflection, and we're going to find out what...
I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The Jews murmured because they did not understand the meaning of Jesus' words, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." You see, they had it backwards. They wanted to understand so they could believe, but they must first believe so they could understand, at least somewhat. Christ offers the gift of faith, but they must surrender to it. And therefore, Jesus challenges his audience to believe. Whoever believes has eternal life. But what specifically were they to believe? Jesus made it very clear when he added, "I am the bread of life." In order to prop up their lagging faith, Jesus again clarified the difference between manna and the bread of life. The manna, like all natural bread, merely sustains life for a time. But those who eat the supernatural bread that comes down from heaven will never die. Then, to avoid the possibility that he is merely speaking in a symbolic way, Jesus made his claim unmistakably clear. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Greek word that is translated as flesh is sarx. This is a very graphic word that always means real flesh, not some symbol. Consider, for example, we may refer to a lake as a body of water, but never as a flesh of water. And therefore, when the Apostle John wanted to make it very clear that the divine word assumed a real human body, not some phantom body, he wrote, "The word became flesh, sarx, and made his dwelling among us." The use of the future tense, "I will give," adds a stirring element to the discourse, because it looks to Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday and the first Eucharistic celebration that anticipated his death on Holy Thursday. We recently participated with the whole church in celebrating these two great events. May they transform our lives. Jesus is quite clear that his flesh, which constitutes the heavenly bread, is the same body that he will give for the life of the world. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's gospel and reflection. It's 11 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. We're joined by Bonnie March. She is co-founder of Women's Giving Circle of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm very excited about what's going on later this morning. I am thrilled to be a member of the Women's Giving Circle in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And I thought it was a great opportunity on this day that we are going to give some gifts to some wonderful nonprofits that we talk to you and you tell us about the Women's Giving Circle.
Oh, I'm happy to share. It has just been a wonderful blessing to us. The Women's Giving Circle is a group of women that come together from the diocese, and we pray together, we pool our resources, and then together we voted and decided who we wanted to bless with the resources that we pooled together.
That's beautiful. And it's under the patronage of St. Catherine Drexel.
Yes, she is our patron saint, and we have used her intercession in helping to guide us in exactly how we should how we should give out these funds to these very worthy nonprofits.
Wonderful. And under the tagline or a short descriptor of the group is Pray, Give, Bless. And the 2022 focus area is Families in Need. So talk about the process of finding those organizations that fit that focus area.
Well, we had a grants committee who were set with the task of going out and finding organizations that helped families in need. And we had about 15 various nonprofits that were all very, very worthy. And we brought these nonprofits, the information about them, to the Giving Circle. And all the women were given a chance to vote. And they voted down. We narrowed that list down to 6. And then those top 6 came and spoke with us and told us about all the good works that they do. And then the ladies voted again. And that second voting is how we decided how we would distribute our funds. And the funds will be given out today noon, yes, at our luncheon.
That's wonderful. So all of these women, you had a goal of how many women to join the circle?
Our goal was 100 women for our very first year, and we were so very blessed. We've got 140 women.
That is amazing.
A part of our,
wow. And that is $73,000 that this group of women have pulled together, discerned, wow, and are giving out to wonderful charities in need. Bonnie, let people know who are listening. If there is a woman out there who's listening and would like to join the circle for the next cycle, how can they do that?
We would love to have any women who would like to join us for next year. You can go to the diocese website, our website, which is diobr/WCG, which stands for Women's Giving Circle. And right there is our website. At the bottom, if you join right there online.
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's not a big commitment. We've had 3 meetings that have always started with Mass, and then we have time to pray about and discern what we'd like to vote for. Is it okay? We have just a few seconds left. Can we say who is receiving money this morning?
Yes, I can tell you who we are honoring. The Missionaries of Charity, the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, Braveheart Children of in Need of Louisiana, Sanctuary for Life, Families First Housing, and Bishop Odd Sweet Dreams Shelter.
Beautiful. Bonnie Martin, thank you so much, Bonnie. Check it out at diobr.org, the Women's Giving Circle of the Baton Rouge Diocese. Stick around. Lorraine Bennett will be up next to share about her new game. It's 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 5th. Today we celebrate St. Hilary of Arles. It's been said that youth is wasted on the young. In some ways, that was true for today's saint. Born in France, Hilary came from an aristocratic family. In the course of his education, he encountered his relative Honoratus, who encouraged the young man to join him in the monastic life. Hilary did so. He continued to follow in the footsteps of Honoratus as bishop. Hilary was only 29 when he was chosen Bishop of Arles. The new youthful bishop undertook the role with confidence. He did manual labor to earn money for the poor. He sold sacred vessels to ransom captives. He became a magnificent orator. He traveled everywhere on foot, always wearing simple clothing. That was the bright side. Hilary encountered difficulty in his relationships with other bishops, over whom he had some jurisdiction. He unilaterally deposed one bishop. He selected another bishop to replace one who was very ill, but to complicate matters, did not die. Pope St. Leo the Great kept Hilary a bishop, but stripped him of some of his powers. Hilary died at 49. He was a man of talent and piety who, in due time, had learned how to be a bishop. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Lorraine Bennett, and today she's going to join us to talk about a new game called Know Thyself, the Game of Temperaments. This sounds like a lot of fun, you guys. I'm so excited to learn more. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so the first thing I thought of was the book, The Temperament God Gave You, which was, I heard about it in high school for the first time, and it was just fun. It's kind of like your personality test. You know, you want to learn about, you know, what makes you you and your personality compared to this person and that person. So give us details about this new game, Know Thyself.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Actually, it's kind of based on the book, and we wrote the book, quite a few years ago. It's about 17 years ago now. So we just decided that so many people are playing games nowadays, especially our adult children. They always play all these games, you know. And back in the day, we only had, like, Monopoly. And so I decided, well, let's make a game that's based on the book. But the game is actually really fun, a lot easier than reading that book. So, you know, and you find out what your temperament is, too, along the way.
So tell us, for those who aren't familiar with the book, the different temperaments that you do cover.
Yeah, so we talk about the classic temperaments that go way back all the way to Hippocrates, but have a long and venerable tradition in our Catholic faith. Many saints and popes and spiritual writers have talked about the temperaments in the way that we talk about them in the book, and that is using the old terms, choleric or choleric, phlegmatic, melancholic, and sanguine. So those are the four basic temperaments, and most people are a combination of two. And you can find out which one you are by playing the game in a fun way. So, yeah.
I love that. So tell us how the game works and how long does it take, how many players, and, you know, all the basic stuff we need to know.
Yeah, well, you can play with four, but it's probably much better to have a good crowd. So five and up is a lot more fun, and it's a card game, a lot like Apples to Apples, if you've ever played that, which means that in each round there's a judge, and it's a role that rotates among all the players, so everybody has a chance to be the judge, and the judge will ask, who is Gabby, the person next to them, and everyone chooses the card that's in their hand they think best describes Gabby. And some of the cards are going to be more straightforward descriptions, like goes with the flow or demanding or party animal, and others are going to be more whimsical. So, for example, I might have in my hand Tom Sawyer or snake oil salesman, you know, or Laissez-les bon temps roulette, you know, for you out there in Louisiana, you know. Anyway, so I choose the card in my hand that I think best fits you. I put it in the center, and everybody does, and people have a chance to argue and debate and lobby for their own card if they want. And ultimately, the judge chooses the card, and that goes to the player. So, yeah, the judge decides around with it. Yeah.
Oh, so my goodness. Okay, so I can see this.
Out. Yeah.
I can see this game getting really, really salty at some point in time when you say someone is demanding. but it sounds like fun. Apples to Apples is one of my favorite games. So the fact that it's very similar to that, I'm genuinely interested in this. What is the age group for a game like this?
Yeah, well, we think it's probably 12 and up would be good, you know, so that they can really understand the descriptive words. And you could play with as many players, you know, you can play with 10 players or whatever. The rules of the game will tell you, like, how to adjust how many cards are put in and so forth, and how many round winners you need to win the game, depending on the number of players.
I love this. So what inspired you to make something like this?
Well, actually, it was our kids who are now all grown up, and we have four adult children now, and now we have grandchildren too. We have eight grandkids, so everybody's always playing games. So we're like, wait a minute, this is the way of the future. you know, when you go to Barnes and Noble, there's so many games now, it's overtaking the books practically. So we're like, we got to jump on the bandwagon here.
Do fights break out?
I love it.
I'm curious.
I said it could get salty. That's what I said.
More than salty. You're thinking about putting salt on your tacos today. I'm talking about you fights break out after you had two or three margaritas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It could be. I think what's more often happening is that people just are having a hilarious good time. So, in the end, you find out not only what you think about yourself, but what your family and friends think about you. Because then you find out what card did they pick to describe you.
Yes.
Well, that's
Tammy, you better not have beef with anyone in the group. Oh my goodness. I love this.
It's fun, but you got to be careful. I'm not knocking the game. I just think you're right. Yeah. You may find out something about yourself that you never thought, but other people see. And that is when things change.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right, right.
For the good, I hope.
I got you.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's funny. Oh, my. Well, Damon's afraid we'll lay down the party animal card whenever we play with him, so which I can totally see. Oh, I love this. Okay, so your children inspired you. We have so many board games. I grew up with board games. As long as I don't have to buy hotels, I'm good. So I love something like this.
This scene is fast paced, I should say. It's not like Monopoly.
Oh, good.
Gabby actually keeps about three or four get out of jail free cards in her pocket that she doesn't tell anybody.
No, I'm always the first one to go, and it just never ended well. So my dad would always say, "Okay, we're not gonna." When I was a kid, "Okay, we're not gonna throw fit if you're the first one to go," because the family predicted that I would always be the first one to leave Monopoly, and I would be. So why I love, you know, those apples to apples, Clue. Like, I can do those games.
I have a question for Lorraine. Lorraine, what did you find out about yourself while you were playing the game?
While I was playing the game. Well, I kind of, like, probably I know too much about the cards because I wrote all the cards. So, the surprising thing might be what somebody else decides to choose as the description for me. So that's always a fun thing. It's like, what are you saying that for? No way.
And how did you come up with the description of the cards? Because I would assume you need a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I should mention, we have 480 cards. Wow. And, I took a long time and wrote every card myself. So,
wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we also practiced. Excuse me. We tried it out with our kids first, so.
That's so much.
The beta version.
I love it.
I'm going on Sophia right now, and I'm ordering it.
There you go.
We're playing
game for Mother's Day.
That's right.
Yeah. I love this. Lorraine Bennett with the game Know Thyself, the game of temperaments. Where can we go, Lorraine, to purchase our board game? Or it's not a board game. It's a card game.
Card game, you can go directly to SophiaInstitute.com, and they have it there. It's called Know Thyself, Game of Temperament.
Okay, it's on special today, y'all. I'm really ordering it.
Oh, yay.
It is.
Yeah.
Really? I've got to pull it up right now.
Perfect.
If on Sophia, it's on special. A few dollars off right now.
I love it.
Okay. Great.
Lorraine, thank you so, so much. And also, because we did mention the temperaments God gave you, the book, you said you and your husband wrote it 17 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the temperament God gave you. Then we wrote the temperament God gave your spouse. We also wrote the temperament God gave your kids. So,
wow.
We've written all the books on temperaments.
This is great.
Where can we go to find those?
Again, just go to Sophia Institute for the first two books we wrote, and anything else you could probably find on Amazon. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Lorraine, for joining us. We'll definitely take a look at all of those. And Alicia, you're going to have to tell us how the game is.
Wow. Guess who I'm playing it with.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. Absolutely, Lorraine. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have to give an update one morning after we play this game.
Yeah, well, I think we should play it. I think part so of too. Our, it could be part of our production meeting.
Okay, there you go.
Our team meetings or something. I do. I think that'll help. I think every team should play this. You learn more about each other and a little bit more about yourself. So
I
think
agree.
Great. So
I agree. And we don't have enough fun around here, so we definitely need to play it again.
At my age, if I don't know who I am by now, I may never will. So.
Oh, goodness. Oh, okay. SophiaInstitute.com. I did post a link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. What a fun interview with Lorraine. Definitely check that out. When we come back from the break, David Dawson Jr., he's a director of parish support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. And today he's going to be talking about Martha and Mary, one of our two favorites. So stay with us. It is 30 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Senator Josh Hawley told Fox News Tuesday, abortion is religion for the far left, and claimed that abortion extremists are willing to do anything to defend that religion. Since saying that, violent and anarchist demonstrations have come to towns that seemingly have little chance of having abortion restricted, let alone eliminated. Los Angeles police were attacked, and in Seattle, joined by abortion advocates, noted anarchists with lit flares, bore signs threatening to burn Washington State. Over the last 3 days, before Americans heard about the Supreme Court draft opinions, Fox also polled 1,000 voters nationwide and found further growth in opposition to abortion. Clear majorities of Americans support both bans on abortions after 15 weeks gestation and on abortions after about 6 weeks or heartbeat abortions. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor. Reject the lie and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. Oklahoma's new heartbeat abortion ban is going into effect. Oklahoma's Supreme Court has declined to block the law. And for all the complaints against likely abortion restrictions, what is all too common is the misunderstanding that human life happens after pregnancy. One reporter recently complained that if Mississippi law goes into effect, that, her words here, women of color will be forced to have pregnancies that will then turn into children. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. We are joined this morning by our friend David Dawson Jr. He is the Director of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Great. Great. And I'm really looking forward to Martha and Mary. That's just one of my favorites. So I have to tell you that, funny, the first time that I went to Rome, to the Vatican, we were there for an Angelus. And the one thing that I understood Pope Francis say was, Martha, Martha, Martha. So I always think of, when I hear the story of Martha and Mary, I think I hear Pope Francis in my head. So...
Yes. No, that's great. Yeah, it's funny. Jesus, you know, he's it's one of those interesting things. We kind of take it in stride, and we hear it as one of these, you know, interesting little moral stories or whatever. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, when she says, tell my sister to get up and help me, she's sitting at his feet listening. Mm-hmm. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. There is need for only one thing. Mm-hmm. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken from her. And I think for me, a lot of times, you know, you hear a number of things. Some people say that it's you have the active vocation and the contemplative vocation,
yes.
Which there certainly may be something to that. I'm sure you could pull something from that. But he says there is only one thing necessary. Mm-hmm. And he's telling Martha, like, you got it wrong.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And like, I mean, he seems to be serious about that. And I know for us, just in the marriage vocation in general, marriage and family, there's always a sense, and I think we've inherited in some form or fashion with our faith, that like God doesn't actually like us to be busy with earthly things,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you read that the wrong way, that's kind of what you can hear,
right.
Is that God doesn't like us to be busy with earthly things. And the fact that we have to be is a distraction from our path to holiness, is mm-hmm. it keeps us from being able to interact with God, that God doesn't actually like us as much as he likes people who want us to sit and listen to him. Yeah. You know, and if we were really good people, then we wouldn't even be married and have a family. We would just sit and listen to him in a monastery somewhere or something like that. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who become saints. And, you know, I know we all know intellectually that that's not true.
Right.
But I think most of us, at least in our spiritual lives, we operate as if it is. Mm. It's in there. I mean, it's got roots in there, and we've kind of taken that hook, line, and sinker to some extent. Mm. And it's funny, Jesus is telling Martha, there's only need for only one thing, and then he goes on to tell other people, you know, in the Sermon on the Mountain, that kind of thing, like if you don't feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and visit the imprisoned and, you know, clothe the naked, then, like, you're not going to be with me in heaven. So is there need for only one thing, or is there need for all those things? You know, which one is it, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of us, we get confused with that. And the truth of the matter is they're not separate. They're not distinct. And that's been something that God has challenged me with a lot recently, especially with the Easter season. They're like, listen, you've been focused on me during Lent. We got the whole Triduum where we're focused on intense prayer. And then we're not just jumping back into the craziness where you forget about Jesus again. And we got to get back into just kind of normal life. The truth is like he is resurrected. He is here, and there is need for only one thing, which means that, like, I've got to be focused and into him and into his presence and receiving what he's got going on, despite what I've got going on.
Right.
Yeah, I've got to get dishes done. Yeah, I've got stuff. I've got, you know, kids who are demanding things. Mm-hmm. Like, is God separate from those things? And like I said, I think intellectually we've got answers to those.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that most of us don't really have answers to those questions. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting that I think we're all familiar with the story of Martha and Mary, but it's only in one of the Gospels. It's only in Luke.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, to me, it's such an important story, but I feel like we need to be Marys in a Martha world is kind of how I feel. Like, you know, there's all the busyness of Martha and the real thought of Mary. But it just feels like, okay, how can we be Mary in a Martha world? That's kind of how I see it. But I know that Augustine said what Martha did is what we are, but what Mary did is what we hope for, which I think is such an interesting, I had not read that perspective before.
Well, I think, I mean, something as simple as, like, if I'm Martha, then, like, Jesus is in the other room and I'm doing dishes and I'm ticked off about it, you know, and I'm like, I got to get through this. I don't like it. I'm upset about it. I'm upset that somebody's not helping me. I'm feeling sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. It's really what it comes down to is that what I want to be is with Jesus, but he's not with me. He's in the other room.
Yes.
And I am feeling sorry for myself that I got to be just drawn down to the earth and I got to be in the grind and poor me. It doesn't just stink, but like, this is my duty. Mm-hmm. So I got to do my duty so God can be pleased with me. Right.
Yes.
And Mary's totally blowing that wide open. She's not doing any of those things. As a matter of fact, it was only the men who were supposed to sit at Jesus' feet and be disciples and listen, like, you know, like that.
Yes.
Like, you know, when the rabbi's speaking, the men sit at his feet and the women in the kitchen. And Mary's like, hey, this is a problem. You know, Jesus, you better tell her what's up. And she's so messed up, she's telling Jesus what to do. So I think...
Yeah, there's also a little...
If we're honest... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, those of us with sisters, you can kind of relate, right?
Yes. Well, and honestly, those of us with spouses, how often are we like, tell them they need to stop doing that? And if they would only stop doing that, then I could finally be a holy person. It's my spouse's fault. You know, that I got to do all this work. But yeah, no, I think the truth is that a lot of the reason what God convicts me is self-pity and assuming that he's in the other room somewhere, as opposed to like, he is with me here and now. What is it going to take for me to get access to the fact that like he's with me? There is need for only one thing, and that one thing is him, which means the dishes, the diapers, the fact that we're not sleeping well, you know, the running around town, you know, bringing kids here and there, work. Finances and that kind of thing. Like, there is, I have got to know what it is to have Jesus with me in those things. I have to. There's only one thing necessary, and it's not worrying about my bank account. It's not worrying about all these things. That is not what's necessary in life. Mm-hmm. There is one thing necessary, and it is Jesus. Which means that if that comes first, right, and that and that defines the rest of the stuff, then the rest of the stuff will find its place. And I'm going to feed the poor, and I'm going to clothe the naked. Right. And I'm going to do those things, but it's going to not be through my own power, because if it's through my own power, then I'm going to be in self-pity land fast.
like really fast. And I'm going to want to take care of myself, and I'm going to want to not do any of those things. And I'm going to fall back into being a 5-year-old, you know, and trying to tell Jesus what to do. Yes. So I think that's been a challenge for me during the Easter season is like, look, the reason I got to find some time to sink in and listen to his voice in the morning and the evening before I go to bed, to sit with scripture and that kind of thing, is because I have to know that he's with me. I can't just know it intellectually because it's not going to work. I got to get a sense that like he actually knows me. He wants to speak to me. And he actually, when I do that, I'm going to find out he doesn't want to just talk about lofty spiritual things. Like he's actually interested in the craziness that I got going on in the earthly things too. Yes. If I'm not listening, I'm not going to know that because my brain doesn't actually believe that until he's like, hey, listen, I know what you got going on with your wife. I know what you got going on with your kids. Mm-hmm. Let me show you that I can be with you in this. It's not just a cool idea, you know.
Right.
I think that's what we get caught in sometimes. We get lost in that, right?
Yes, yes, you're right. Well, I would suggest everybody read Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Read that story of Martha and Mary.
Yeah, and I would say pray with it in particular. Mm-hmm. Because it's funny, when we pray with it, and we kind of ask God to speak to us in it, it's amazing the things that he is able to show us that we didn't see. And he can kind of, dig into some stuff. He can say, look, this is what I'm talking about, and this is how it applies to what you got going on today. Because otherwise, a lot of times we assume that God only wants to speak to us in general principles, you should be a better person in general. Like, no, that's not how God is. He wants to get into the weeds, and if we let him, he can show us that.
Ah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. David Dawson Jr., he's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. How can we get in touch with you or find out more about your diocese?
Yeah, sure. We've got some beautiful things going on with parishes and kind of helping each person in every parish get access to what we're talking about today. My address is ddawson@htdiocese.org. But if you look at htdiocese.org, it's a fantastic website. Lots of cool stuff, but it's been beautiful to see what the Holy Spirit's been providing. In a diocese like we've got, where there's a lot going on. We've got big hurricane relief still.
Yes.
We're a relatively rural diocese, but it's amazing. The assumption is that God only works in the big stuff, you know, big cities, big communities, big churches. And the truth is, God is in the midst. He's in the mess. He's in the weeds, even for those of us who feel simple and feel like we're not really a part of the big picture.
Right. David Dawson Jr., thanks so much for joining us. Stick around. Heather Kim with her book, Abide, A Pathway to Transformative Healing and Intimacy with Jesus, is up next. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
It's 48 after the hour. Happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone on this Thursday morning. Damian Colado along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido. And our guest now is Heather Kim. She is the host of a Catholic podcast called Abiding Together, also co-founder of Life Restoration Ministries. And for 25 years, she has been working hard to help people find a personal encounter with God. And that's what this book is all about. It's called Abide, A Pathway to Transformative Healing and Intimacy with Jesus. Heather, good morning and welcome to Wake Up.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And tell us about the book, because in today's world, if we don't have a strong relationship with Christ, we can go to hell in a handbasket fast.
Yeah, we can. And I think, you know, for many of us, it's like it's hard for us to connect our real life experience with Jesus, with the person of Jesus and what he is actually here to do, which is to set us free and to bring us into communion with him. And so this book is really kind of like a pathway, a guide to helping people get into the real life situations in their story and invite Jesus in there to bring us healing power.
Yeah, we all have a story, as you say in the book. And at the same time, it's getting beyond our pain. A lot of times we and I didn't look at it that way, but we hold on to our pain or our past memories and don't let them go in order to develop that relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, you know, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And for many of us, that's really hard to have that be our experience. You know, often we're white knuckling our way through life or we're just coping or life is happening to us. But Jesus came so that we would have the full life. That's what he's offering to us. And often there's parts in our story, we all have woundedness, we all have things in our story that, you know, never should have happened to us or or maybe, you know, the things that we chose that have hurt us.
Yeah.
And this is where Jesus wants to come and redeem us. Like, he really is who he says he is. And I talk about that a lot in the book, that sometimes we have a misconception of who he is, that he's judgmental or he's distant or uncaring. But really, he's a good God who yeah. loves us and wants intimacy with us.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that I know have left a church because they blame God for some of the ills mm-hmm. that they've encountered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. I think it's hard for us to make sense of why things have happened in our life. And often we can have really deep questions, but I've learned along the way in my own journey with God, he's not afraid of our big questions. You know, the way that we might interpret life doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And that's a part of this book. It's like, how do we get into our story and really hear the truth from God, not just our emotions or our assumptions? And so it's very practical, this book. I often, when I'm sitting at a talk myself or I'm reading something, my big question on my mind is, okay, that's great, but how do I do it? What do I do? And so I've tried to offer some really practical things to help people journey through some of these places.
You're right. In fact, in Chapter 3, one of the practical tools that you use, and I haven't delved into it, I have worked on it a little bit, but life's messages, where you break it down in age, your age, like from 0 to 5 years old, then 6 to 9, all the way to 55 to 65, and you know what memory you have, positive message, negative message. That is a helpful tool to find out, you know, what is the healing that you need, that you've encountered in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just another way to look at things, you know, instead of it just being a memory, but it's like, what did I take from that mm-hmm. situation? Because I know for me, there's often many little things throughout my life that I would dismiss, you know, and say, it's not a big deal. Who cares? You know, like compared to other people. And what I've learned is, like, God wants to bring healing and freedom to me. And something small might have planted a seed that's turned into something big that's not bearing good fruit in my life. And the only way to deal with that is to allow him to go right to the root of what it is and to bring healing there.
Mm-hmm. And I love the question, what is the truth Jesus wants me to know?
Mm. Yeah.
And we're all seeking the truth. Right. In today's world, mm-hmm. though, it's so cluttered, we don't know what truth is anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a huge crisis that's happening in our world today. You know, there's been a number of things that have happened, everything from the pandemic to just like failure in leadership all over the place in every sphere, it seems like. And I think many people are wondering every day, who can I trust? And it seems like, well, I can't trust the government. I can't trust, you know, because they might be lying to me, or there's corruption here, or even in the church, there's been a failure of leadership. Mm-hmm. And to just come back to the truth that Jesus is trustworthy. His words are true, mm-hmm. and he doesn't lie. And so particularly to be able to get into the scriptures, to his actual word, and hear from him, what does he think, and where is he directing and guiding me?
And that's a great lead into my next question. So how does one truly disseminate or discern the voice of God versus Satan? And scriptures is mm-hmm. one way.
Yeah, scripture is one way. And, you know, there's just a brief little chart that I put out here in the book that just talks about what does the voice of the enemy sound like? You know, often it's condemning and harsh and biting. And then what does the voice of God sound like? And often there's a lot of voices in our mind. It's hard to distinguish mm-hmm. which voice belongs to who. And so often we can put things like on God, thinking that he's the one condemning us or he's the one being harsh. But that's not the kind of God we have. He's yeah. a good father who cares about his children, and he wants to speak life and blessing. You know, he truly is the way, the truth, and the life, mm-hmm. and he wants to be that for each of us.
You kind of touch on your own personal healing story in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us real quick your story.
Yeah, I grew up in a Catholic home and pretty normal, you know, childhood for the most part at the beginning. And then, you know, my brother fell into some really difficult things. He has his own story. You know, there's a lot of wounds and a lot of pain in his life. And he got involved in the occult. And me being the little sister, I caught the brunt of a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very, you know, emotionally and psychologically damaging for me. And I experienced just a lot of difficulty for several years in that relationship with him, but also just spiritually being so confused about, God, why aren't you coming to help me? You know, I would find myself just praying and crying out to God, why wasn't he coming? And so for me, I had to go back to some of those places, some of those memories, and really bring that before God and say, Jesus, where were you? And where are you now? And what is the truth that you want me to know about this? But I also share about more recent things in my life. You know, my husband and I went through a really deep healing experience because of a pornography addiction that he kind of brought into the marriage that I wasn't aware of. And, you know, those are the moments when the rubber really meets the road. It's like, I need to know, God, if you really are who you say you are, because without you, this is over. Like, this part of my life is just going to completely fall apart. And I think many of us have those places, but, you know, that might not be your situation, what mine is, but we all have places that are too much for us, too hard for us, that we don't have the power to fix. And I'm a pretty good fixer. I can come up with a lot of great ideas. But there is nothing like the true healing power of God that can come in and transform and heal things that we never could see redeemed, because that's who he is.
Well, Heather, you've got a great book. It's called Abide, A Pathway to Transformative Healing and Intimacy with Jesus. I think it's a great guide. Recommend for everyone to pick up. Really learn yourself as well. You can get it at AveMariaPress.com. Thank you for being with us today, Heather Kim.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. And we're going to say a prayer of generosity today in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to labor and not to seek for rest, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek reward, except to know that I am doing your holy will. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're joined by the Knights of Columbus. Hans Plate will talk about a new study focusing on Catholics' well-being in a post-pandemic world, the Catholic foodie, and so much more. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.